Gay Valmont is joining us now. Hey, Gay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I know you're going to be representing the Democratic side for Congress District 1.
News Radio 92.3, full team coverage with Chris and Austin, provided up-to-the-minute election results.
Joining me now, Jimmy Patronis. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I couldn't be any better right now.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm trying to get a handle on the. I'm not a big social media guy, but I've got bombarded by numerous people about the content of our social media on Facebook with the city logo.
So let's look at the last 90 days. 1.8 million views in 3 months. 267,174 viewers. Our social media strategy is very successful. You would have to spend $50,000 a year or more to reach the same audience that we reach for $0. And that is our social media strategy.
Let me ask you, this is the question I have. I'm going to read some data here from experts.
But the issue is, this is personal opinion. Staff members should never use official accounts to share personal views, jokes, or commentary.
Councilman, can you provide the source of that? You said it's an expert.
Yeah, I can forward it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it come off the internet. AI.
It sounds like an
AI. He came off AI. Okay.
Are you making fun of where I get my information, Mr. Spears?
No, sir.
Then
no,
why sir. Are you laughing?
Because we're making fun of where you get your information. You drew it off of AI because you don't know anything about social media, as evidenced by the fact that you're not using it, Councilman Cusack. So the backstory, in case you have not been listening, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, we talked about this extensively. We're going to finish it up here. It's a three-parter for Days of Our Milton this week. Bethany Anderson, who is the PIO for the city of Milton, is incredibly effective. She's charming. She's smart. She's funny. She runs a great Facebook page. She's super, like, she's just kind of like that gem of a person, okay? And she's had some health issues, okay? So she's been in and out over the years. But she was not there to able to defend herself. But Mike Cusack is angry because the Facebook page is so effective based on the use of humor and memes, and they reach people way beyond. They bat way above their weight, way above their capability, way above their weight. For a city of 5,000 people, she could get a job anywhere running social media. It's incredibly effective. And he doesn't like it. And apparently a handful of people don't like it. And I have a suspicion about some of the backdrop here. Pardon me. I have a suspicion about some of the backdrop here, but I'll get to that in a minute. And Mike Cusack is showing up with an AI-generated critique that he thinks is expert opinions, and they laughed at him. And he got angry at them laughing at him, even though he deserved to be laughed at. And Gavin Hawthorne lit him up over it.
No, it sounds like an opinion, Councilman, is what it sounds like. Oh, it sounds like an opinion.
Okay.
Opinionated fact that you're trying to make a fact, but it sounds very opinionated after the manager just gave you a very robust and profound presentation on how well this is effective and how positive is it effective. And it's kind of funny to me, in my own personal opinion, that you're the only one on this dais that seems that it's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and he's right. And then Heather Lindsay rushes to his defense because Heather and Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrer are all aligned. They're all Pitchfork Posse. I mean, if there were an actual party called the Pitchfork Posse, they would be founding members, okay? And so they all defend each other. And I have a theory in the backdrop about Heather Lindsay and Bethany Anderson, but I don't have evidence, so it's just a speculation. But anyway, so they go on and they explain to him how wrong he is, how dumb he is, how much he does not know social media, that he's basically being a get-off-my-lawn type old man. He engages in some gaffes.
I'm not questioning the reaches and all this other stuff. I'm not.
Reaches. Oh, my God. It's terrible. And he didn't go to her privately to find out what was going on. He didn't ask Ed Spears about this privately. This is all a show for some reason. And he even admits,
what I'm saying is, a lot of people in our city are elderly, right? Like myself, right?
There
they're
you
old,
go.
They're older.
They don't get it. People. They don't like it. Get off my lawn. Okay. So some people in the public complained to him, and he says, and now he's brought it before everybody else. He gets laughed at. He doesn't know the difference between a website and a social media page, apparently, and Gavin gets all over him for that.
People ask me, why is non-city-related stuff being on Facebook? That's all they ask me. So that's why I said what the city policy was. You know, and then, of course, I did some research, you know, AI, and people started laughing at me. That's fine, but I'm just telling you what came out there from three or four different sources saying that a city website should be geared for city information.
Website.
Website. And Facebook.
Different from a social media account. Just clarifying.
Well, I know social media and the web page are totally different.
You don't have to be, you know, elderly age to know the difference of social media and a city website. And for what I've seen on the city website, where good living flows, it looks very professional.
Oh, I agree. I'm not talking about the city website. I'm talking about social media, not the city website. That's my point.
But you just slop them together because you don't really know the difference deeply. This is not your language, not your culture, not your knowledge, not your technology. So he says, look, it's our city website, actually Facebook page. It's our Facebook page with the logo on it. And if you all think it's okay to post non-official stuff when they're designed to generate reach and engagement so that in times of crisis we can actually reach people with our messages, then so be it. That's fine. Heather Lindsay, well, okay, should maybe we change our strategy a little bit?
Would the PIO be under any obligation to generate this kind of reach beyond what she's already done and achieved? She's already achieved a great reach. You know, is her achievement now such that you would give her different expectations so that there would be members of the public who would no longer be questioning, you know, her strategy?
No, you're right. I would give her greater expectations, which is to expand the reach even further.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not going to tell her to stop. Do it more. What you're doing works. There's a reason people try to get these kind of results. And if you stop doing it, the algorithm punishes you and you go away pretty quickly in terms of reaching people in their news feed. So, no, I'm not going to tell her to stop. I'm going to tell her to do more. Because that's what, like, we've been told by Facebook that we're a influencer status and we can't monetize our account.
And if your usage goes down, if your lack of posts goes down, if not using those that go viral, Meta punishes you because you're of no use to them. And we've already been advised by Meta that we are not allowed to monetize our page, even though we've reached influencer levels.
That's exactly right. We'll pause here for just a second. We'll come back to this in a moment. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by White Sands Electric. Keeping your Cummins or Generac generators in top shape for the hurricane season. White Sands Electric, your full-service electrical contractor. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash I-10 eastbound right near Pine Forest. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash in Santa Rosa County, Bergeron Road at Gulf Breeze Parkway. No roadblock there. Finally, dealing with a vehicle crash, Navy Boulevard at Interbay Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. So Marilyn Farrow, again, one of the heavily aligned Pitchfork Posse members of the city council.
Did anyone else like to comment before we invite the public?
Yeah. I would like to comment, Mr. Spears.
Yes, ma'am.
And Councilman Hawthorne, respectfully, you assumed that no one else had a problem with some of the posts, but I do. In fact, I had planned to put it on a future meeting, and then I saw that Councilman Cusick had done so.
I don't like humor either. No, I do get humor.
I do appreciate the humor that
sure.
is at times utilized. For example, on August 5th, there was a Yard of the Season post, and it was an excellent use of humor.
There's nothing that proves you have a good sense of humor more than explaining why you have a good sense of humor. But she says, look, it takes time to answer these comments. They don't answer most of the comments. Raises other practical questions and says in the end,
increase engagement, increase the algorithms. Is it just to get clickbait?
Literally, yes. What you do on social media is you generate interest so that you get prioritized in the algorithm so that you can reach people in times of need. Yes, that's actually the reason why you do it. Ed Spears says it generates comments from other kinds of things where we learn about problems. We don't respond because you cannot win in response. Larry McKee, city councilman.
At the end of the day, I get it. We want our social media to have a serious note to it. But if having a little humor thrown in gets a few more engagements and people are clicking the follow button and that one post that goes out that says, we got a missing two-year-old child, help us find their parents. The jokes are worth it, guys. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion.
Yep. That's not opinion. That's the truth. Doing all of this makes it possible for you to have an effective communications platform so that when times of crisis come, you can really reach people. That's exactly right. Robert Leak, because the response had been from Cusack and Farrow and, you know, sort of Heather Lindsay, had been, well, let's just have city meeting announcements and, you know, water shutoffs, he literally said at one point. Let's make it the most boring version of social media that can possibly be. And Robert Leak says, yeah, you'll get no follows, no likes, no engagement. You'll just be shouting into the wind and having no effect.
So some of these posts, you know, our meeting posts, the council meetings now, that doesn't get much traction. Nobody decides to do anything with that.
You right.
Know, it gets a few shares, but the funny posts do. But that's what helps Facebook prioritize our page to reach other people's timelines.
That's exactly right. You are smuggling emergency content in under the algorithm built to handle and respond to your ordinary, funny, and entertaining stuff. And again, I promise you, Bethany Anderson, with the track record at Milton, could go anywhere she wants to and build social media for folks. She could get a job in a police department or for a city or for a county or probably for a company as a communications, and she wouldn't have to deal with the nonsense of these basically ignorant people complaining about her use of social media. She's basically getting attacked for being effective. It's amazing. Robert Leak.
So I don't personally think that we should change anything. And if a lot of those people were mad, I do have some, you know, I did get some phone calls. I won't lie about that. There were some individuals that were not happy. But when you look at some of the posts and you get 64 thumbs up, 9 hearts, 1 care, 142 laughing emojis, 4 wows, 1 cry, and 2 mad. I mean, that's a successful post.
Absolutely. I
mean, you only made 2 people mad. So, yeah.
So that's right. That's
I'm
better
happy
than
with the
stuff.
Way that things are going at the moment.
And Larry McKee says, I'm old, but I don't get it all, but I got a few complaining calls, and I got more calls from people who liked it. And that's the point.
But I do agree that it is a great thing for this city to see that kind of engagement all around. Instead of Milton being talked about for bad things, come on. They're actually talking about how much they enjoyed our posts.
Right. Like, literally, this is good news for Milton. You're getting people interested in liking your city and enjoying your brand. And then you're complaining about it online, which is giving you the worst look. And somebody like me has to point out that you're complaining. Again, certain members of city council are complaining about it. So Heather Lindsay says, oh, this is fantastic. I'm glad you brought this up. We had a good conversation. He should have solved this by talking to her himself. He should have solved this by talking to Ed himself. Nancy Powell, who I do not know this name.
Since we're talking about social media, I think the consensus is appropriate. And I know some comments get deleted, but I just wondered how this council felt about someone posting on those posts how unprofessional they are and that the person posting them should not be employed with the city. That's it.
I didn't see that comment, but I will tell you, I browsed, like the Santa Rosa Press Gazette did a story on her and how successful she's been. And there's a Facebook account here that I read a similar kind of comment. That person's totally fake. They have one friend. They live in Kansas. I mean, like, you have to, so I think people are actually, and they do this, I know in Milton, and some of the Pitchfork Posse people have been accused of doing this too. You know, they have these fake accounts, they post as other people that aren't really real. So there's just so much shenanigans that goes on. That's why, you know, I love Howard Steele. He's usually going to cut through the nonsense.
This seems like it's an episode of Get Off My Lawn. And that is not the image that this city needs to give
right
to anyone on social media. Anyone that visits the city, that is absolutely the wrong image to give.
Somebody had raised the issue of time spent, wasted on answering all the comments.
As far as the time wasted, how much time did Mr. Spears spend on this presentation to defend the PIO's exceptional work?
Yes.
That he was not able to spend on actual solving problems for the people of the city, but yet had to... Again, like I said, defend one of his employees her exceptional work.
She's literally in trouble with Mike and Marilyn and Heather because she's too good at her job.
Obviously.
And Ed had to waste time creating a PowerPoint to explain to these people why she's so good at her job.
Obviously, she's goal-oriented. I mean, look at the results she's getting. I think it's absurd, the criticism she's getting. People need to come here. They need to say, what an interesting place. They need to get on social media and see on the screen and think they need to come here and see what it's all about. And I think the council should really take the opportunity to thank the PIO for her excellent work. Thank you.
I agree. Now, he is running for mayor against Heather Lindsay. I told you I have a theory that there's something about this that doesn't all add up to me because I almost don't believe anybody can be this dumb about social media. There's got to be something else. But when Heather Lindsay, after all of this stuff happens, she like goes out of her way to praise Bethany Anderson. Heather's the kind of person that you know she hates you when she praises you too much. Because, I mean, I've seen it handled with other people that same way. You know, it's the super overly sweet, nice version of this. So there's my spidey sense says there's something else going on here. But in any case, I hate when staff get attacked. I hate when staff get attacked wrongly. I hate when people don't know what they're talking about and they say ridiculous things that embarrass themselves. And I really cannot believe that Mike Husak and Marilyn Farrow are getting reelected without any opposition whatsoever. Way to go. I mean, I guess I'll have content. I guarantee I'll have content for a couple of years anyway. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Navy Boulevard at Interbay Avenue, right near the base. No roadblock associated with that one. Also have a vehicle crash, Bergeron Road at Gulf Breeze Parkway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Are you making fun of where I get my information, Mr. Spears?
No, sir.
Then why are you laughing?
For more than three decades, the local option sales tax, often called the penny for progress, has been quietly at work across Escambia County. The penny funds local projects we rely on every day, from roads, bridges, and stormwater drainage, to parks, libraries, and fire stations. In fact, you may be surprised by how many projects have been funded by the penny right here in your own neighborhood. The local option sales tax is up for renewal in November. This isn't a new tax. It's a decision about whether to continue the voter-approved funding source our community has relied on for 34 years. And the penny helps pay for needed improvements without putting the entire cost on local property owners. Want to see what the penny has funded in your backyard? Visit pennyforescambia.com. That's pennyforescambia.com. Paid political advertisement. Paid for by the Penny for Progress Committee, Incorporated. 707 East Cervantes Street, Suite B, number 241, Pensacola, Florida, 32501.
Tommy Pump fires it down the middle for Deuce. Caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Florida State begins the college football season Saturday by hosting New Mexico State in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
FSU versus New Mexico State, Saturday, 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3, brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Your Honor, I object!
And why is that, Mr. Reed?
Because it's devastating to my case!
Overruled.
Good call!
the way, in the midst of all the controversy in Milton, there's actually a bit of good news. They were talking about their economic development director, Stephen Prestestater, was talking about how some of the former opportunity zones, you know, which is the blighted areas, disadvantaged areas, are now no longer eligible for opportunity zone investment because they've improved so much. So well done, staff in the city of Milton. Let's see. Steve is in for David this morning with a headline for us. Steve?
Five Tennessee school districts are facing records requests from a number of civil liberties groups over plans to display the Ten Commandments in public schools. Those groups are seeking information from the districts after a new state law allowed the displays in prominent areas of the schools. The groups say the displays could violate families' religious freedom, while the law supporters argue the Ten Commandments are part of the state's religious and cultural heritage. And that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks for the update. Supreme Court has sided with the Trump administration, sort of. What they're doing, in my opinion, is unconstitutional, but it has not yet become an action that would harm the states who are suing him on the mail ballots thing with the Postal Service. And so the Supreme Court said there's been no official rule done yet, therefore there's been no harm yet, therefore you are premature to sue. You have to wait for the harm to be done. The response on the other side is, yeah, but by the time that happens, the election will be over and have been influenced. How do you prevent that? Well, that's where we're at. That's the problem.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Showdown with Canada unveiling new U.S. tariff retaliation after getting hit with 50% levies on cars and trucks. President Trump posting someone should get these clowns in line. Treasury Secretary Bessent questions PM Mark Carney.
Is he trying to benefit himself, the Liberal Party, or the Canadian people? Because they were offered a very good job.
And President Trump trolling. He's considering renaming Lake Ontario Lake America. The president also posting Iran is not paying their military while at the same time killing protesters at epic levels as the U.S. launches the final economic squeeze. Second Lady Usha Vance answers Fox, will Vice President Vance run for president?
I know everyone is always curious about this, and my way of thinking about it is we just take things one step at a time. Right now, that step is he's really focused on the midterms.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 right now, 78 degrees and somewhat sunny outside. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Florida Highway Patrol is investigating after a 73-year-old woman was found dead on I-10 in Okaloosa County on Sunday. Road rangers spotted what appeared to be a disabled vehicle near mile marker 55 about 8 a.m. on Sunday and approached it to check it out, and that's when they discovered the Moss Point, Mississippi woman deceased behind the wheel. Crestview Fire Department responded within minutes and confirmed her death. The Florida Highway Patrol says at this time investigators do not believe the incident was criminal and no other details have been released. Not all doctors agree on Florida's plan to drop four school vaccine mandates. Family doctor Joel Rudman told Channel 3 the debate is not so simple.
I think you can find disagreement among physicians. I think you can find disagreements among, you know, health interest groups. Like, for example, hepatitis B. I get a lot of patients that come in, you know, new parents, and they say, look, we've just had a baby. How is a baby going to contract hepatitis B? Generally speaking, you get hepatitis B, it's either bloodborne or it's sexually transmitted. So again, they say, how does this affect a two-month-old?
The rule targets hepatitis B, chickenpox, HIV, and pneumococcal vaccines. Also, they're not going after polio or tetanus, which Rudman says will stay required. It'll also widen religious and personal belief exemptions for the four vaccines. The Department of Health has opened a 21-day public comment period before deciding whether to finalize the rule. New numbers from Visit Florida show fewer Canadian tourists made their way to the Sunshine State this spring. About 721,000 Canadians visited Florida during the second quarter, down more than 4% from last year. It's also well below the 958,000 Canadian visitors counted in the first quarter. Nicole Stacy with Visit Pensacola told Channel 3 the Panhandle snowbird season stayed steady even as those numbers dipped elsewhere.
In our snowbird season, which is typically anywhere from November to March, we were still seeing consistent Canadian numbers. I won't say that they were driving upwards, but there was definitely some consistency in the visitors we were seeing.
Stacy points to inflation and rising airfares as the likely factors. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. weekend. Heading into Thursday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms with a high near 89. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with PJ for traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Steve. Traffic's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash. Navy Boulevard at Interbay Avenue near the base. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash, Bergeron Road at Gulf Breeze Parkway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. 78 degrees right now with sunshine. It's 77 at Gulf Breeze and 79 right now in Milton at 834. Next news is at 9. Of course, anything that happens, breaking news will break in. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Now let's check out what's happening on Wall Street. This is Your Money Now. Florida's housing market kept climbing in July, marking 11 straight months of higher home sales and rising median prices. Experts say the sellers should price homes based on current comps, not the inflated values from 2021 and 2022. And while foreclosures are up, they still make up only a tiny share of the state's 10 million plus housing units, signaling a quiet but steady rebound. At the opening bell, the Dow Jones was up 111 points to 53,528. NASDAQ is up 183 points at 26,163. S&P 500 up 28 points at 7,681. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinky Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies all in their own style. Come out and take a spin on the dance floor at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The primary election is over.
If you're looking at the city of Pensacola mayor race, D.C. Reeves has 51% of the vote. Alicia Trawick has 21% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3 full team coverage with Chris and Austin provided up-to-the-minute local and state election results.
I'm so happy to welcome David Williams into the show. Hey, David, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, this one actually comes from my my good friend Bobby Rossi, who is our program director and sometimes fills in for me and used to do the afternoon show, and we went to the DNC and the RNC together. He had texted me this one the other day, and in fact, it turned out this was a result of an in-house argument they were having, and he was hoping I would help him solve it, which I managed to not help him solve because I was on the other side from him, but that's okay. Here we go. You ready? So you get a Yoplait yogurt. Okay, Yoplait is a good example of this. Could be a pudding cup. The kind where you peel back or pull off the top. That's the key part of this. And then there's always a little bit on the lid. Right? There's always a little bit of pudding on the lid. There's a little bit of yogurt on the lid. The question is, what do you do with the lid yogurt or the lid pudding? Do you A, lick it? B, scrape it? I suppose you could scrape it with your finger, but I don't know what you do. Scrape it with a spoon, scrape it with a knife. Or do you C, throw it away? 437-1620, 437-1620. And in this conversation, feel free to expand the field of competition to other things that have this same, you know, I have mentioned pudding and yogurt, but there might be other things you're thinking of where wrapper licking or wrapper scraping or wrapper throwing, you know, whichever, I don't want to bias too early, you know, my answer, you know, that you deal with the surplusage. 437-1620, 437-1620. All right, so PJ, are you a licker, a scraper, or a thrower?
As a kid or an adult?
Yeah, sure. Either way, go. Tell me both.
Okay, as a kid, I see you lick the lid.
Lick the lid, right?
Yeah. As an adult, I throw it away.
You throw it away?
It's not substantial. Why
it's
should
you? Oh. It's a mouth amount. It's a taste. You feel like that should just be, it's beneath you to lick or scrape?
I guess so.
So, let me infer the answer to a second question, which is, after you have eaten the pudding cup or the yogurt cup, and there's stuff at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
do you scrape it? Do you spatula it? Do you just say, oh, well, rough, my loss?
I get as much as I can, yes.
So you're aggressive with the package, but you're not aggressive with the lid.
Correct.
Okay. All right. All right. Must be nice to be rich. 841 here on News Radio 92.3 Informative, Local, Dependable. Now, I am, as I think all people should be, I'm a licker. Definitely a licker.
And I would not picture you as a licker.
Would you? What would you think of me?
I think you would throw it away.
Do you know how many leftovers containers are in my fridge right now? You don't know me at all, sir. I feel like we haven't even met. Like, not like we just met, like we haven't even met. Think I'm a thrower away or good Lord. I was raised by the children of depression parents. I was raised with a scarcity mindset. You keep all that stuff until it molds. And even then, you might scrape a mold and eat underneath that. So 437-1620. No, I'm a licker. Definitely I lick the lid. And that's like the best part because that's usually your first one. When you're hungriest, when you're itching for the flavor the most, and that gives you all the satisfaction. Okay, all right. I see you from your face. You don't know what I'm talking about. 437-1620. I had to admit that Bobby Rossi was very disappointed because he had come to me hoping he's a spoon scraper.
Oh.
And he said after I told him lick that he's like, oh, well, my daughter's with you, but I was hoping you'd be on my side. Bobby kind of talks like this. And right?
Yes, he does.
And I told him, no, I'm with the lickers of the world. So at least he's not like PJ, a thrower-outer. Ugh, I just can't even wrap my brain around it.
It's
all
not
right.
Worth licking or saving.
It's the fun of the thing, let alone it is absolutely worth it. It's the first lick. It's the first pass. It's the most exciting. 437-1620. There's somebody. If Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow are listening right now, this is the dumbest thing. I don't understand why he does this. This is not entertaining at all. Get off my Facebook page. 437-1620.
No, he'd say website, wouldn't he?
But yeah, he would say, get off my website. Let's see. Somebody says, I let the dog lick it off. Oh, that's an interesting approach. Okay, if you know you're going to reward the begging of the dog, I can see how that would work. I lick it clean like a dog, somebody says. Any lids that are lickable. You know, I am actually curious what other foods, I don't know that this would apply to. I have a couple that I'm thinking of, but I'm curious what you would come up with. 437-1620. Let's see. I put the yogurt away and eat real food. Oh, and eat real food instead. Okay. You can't say that about pudding, though, can you? Let's see. Somebody says, the texts are coming in so fast that when I click on one, it goes to the wrong one. Sorry. That's just my own, you know, incompetence. As my kid would say, sounds like a skill issue. Let's see. Somebody says, I licked the lid. I also licked the cheese off the cheeseburger wrapper that oozed onto it. Yes. You don't lick the cheese off the cheeseburger wrapper, do you?
Do you lick your leftovers lid?
You know, that's a good question. I like that question. I was thinking about this, and typically the answer is no.
Well, why?
But I can't figure out why. I think I need to start. I mean, a lot of times leftovers don't fall into the lickability category. You know, there are more things that would need to be reheated, for example. So I'm not sure that it really applies.
It's gotta be like a dessert.
Yeah. I mean, yogurt is a sweet dessert. You know, pudding is a sweet dessert. There are other things I'm thinking of. I think of the cream cheese wrapper. You know, do you just let the stuff that's squandered on the cream cheese wrapper go into the trash?
Yes.
At least you're consistently wrong. I love it. I do not lick the cream cheese wrapper, but I do aggressively scrape it with the knife. So okay. I am eager on the cream, and I feel like I'm pretty successful at that. I lick a butter wrapper, though.
Oh.
What?
I turned my stomach.
Do you not like butter? Do you not like butter?
On my toast.
I feel like you haven't lived. What do you do with the butter wrapper and the little edge bits that are all over it? You just throw them away?
Yes.
My heart. Oh, it just hurts so much. 437-1620. Somebody says it depends on your location at the time and the amount left on the lid. Oh, ashamed to lick in public? Not me. I'm there for liquors everywhere. Liquors unite. Cheeseburger wrapper, you have to eat the melted cheese. It's the best part. Yes. Let's see. Dale says pudding, lick, yogurt, throw away, garlic butter cup from Papa John's, scrape with a pizza crust. There you see. There you go. By the way, I have a whole side story on this topic sort of that I may or may not share today because it may be its own topic. Bruce says I also lick the cottage cheese foil. Yes. Sour cream. But sour cream is a go on something, not a something you eat directly. So it's a little bit different. PJ has traffic on the fives.
All right.
Although he's probably malnourished from not eating all of the butter and the yogurt and the pudding for all these years.
There is a vehicle crash, Navy Boulevard at Interbay Avenue, right near the base. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, or let's be honest, if you're at all like me, and maybe you're not, I know I'm weird, but if you're like me, you're putting off thinking about it. Because deep down in the part of you that knows the truth, you know it's time to get a replacement vehicle. You know that. But you don't want to think about it because you don't want to deal with the difficulty, the annoyance, the change, the shopping, the meeting the people, the bickering and negotiating and all. Just and so you delay it much, much, much past when you should go. Well, go to Frontier and find out that things can be different. I don't know that it's going to be like this greatest experience you've ever had. But, you know, you won't have a lot of the problems. And you will find good quality used cars at a reasonable price with low miles, you know, recent model years, and those ones they warrantied 100,000 miles or 10 years, whatever comes first. And the people there know that you don't like shopping for cars, so they do it differently. They don't treat you like the normal way, and you don't feel icky when you leave. And it's a lot of cars you can look at, and if they don't have what you want, send them looking for stuff. They go basically shopping like your personal car shopper for people all the time. And if they have what you want, we'll buy it because it'll be a good deal. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. So back to the question of the day, which is, on a pudding or a yogurt lid, do you lick? Do you scrape? I haven't had anybody say they're finger scrapers. I would imagine anybody who's willing to scrape with the finger and then lick the finger would just be willing to lick the lid. It's cleaner anyway, and you get more of it. You don't waste any on your finger. But also, maybe you throw it away, like PJ, and some people do, which is hard for me to promise, hard for me to process. 437-1620. 437-1620. Let's see. Clint says, Duke's mayonnaise. If you use another brand, you're wrong. He's correct about that. Duke's is the bomb. He says, I wipe the excess of the lid on the bread for the sandwich. So that's not letting it go to waste in any case. On the Duke's, I'll just eat it because Duke's is so good straight. Do you waste the Duke's?
I don't eat Duke's.
God, twice in a day. Elizabeth, I'm coming to be with you. You don't
eat
Duke's.
I eat mayo, but not Duke's.
Have you ever had Duke's?
No.
Well, that's the problem. Just... Can I get a collective amen from the audience psychically and
okay,
just...
Okay, I will look for Duke's.
It's going to be expensive.
Okay.
Okay, it's more expensive. It is worth it, and it is mayonnaise you can eat just straight.
All right.
Like pudding.
I'll have to check it out.
Trust. All right, 437-1620. Oh, applesauce is a good example. Yes, I hadn't thought about that. Applesauce, definitely lick the lid. Somebody says, oh, here we go. Okay, here's a trauma story. Ed says, as a kid, I cut my tongue on the snack pack pudding, and then I cut my finger scraping out the can.
And that's why you don't do it. Thank you.
I'm laughing. That's why. Safety first, PJ. PJ always wears a life jacket when he goes to a friend's pool. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. So I'm getting, now people are sending me in their favorite lips licking gifs, which is like, this one is of the Rolling Stones. Another one is just some random one or whatever. But seriously, you don't lick the butter? Oh, I just feel, this just makes me so sad. But okay. All right. Fair enough. My wife will lick the Miracle Whip. Although I think she said she uses a spoon because she's a spoon spreader, which is its own separate question. You know, like she likes to spread with a spoon the grape jelly.
Different topic, different day.
Right. I'll come back to that different day. Should I tell him my I'll save it. I have a story, but I don't want to use it now. I will save it for later when we talk about it's very much in the genre of what do you do with the condiment jar when you've gotten your last easy squeeze out of it, but you know there's more in there? We'll do that a different day.
No, I'm getting recommendations for Dukes, by the way. Thank you.
Are people texting you about the Dukes now? So many people. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
You know, I almost hated to spring that one on that bonehead. Hey, I made a funny.
Such a good song. And I actually bought the album for this for Julianne Hatfield 3, and most of the other songs are okay. You know, I always feel cheated, and I used to feel cheated when I would. And it wasn't so much because I'd spent the money and I didn't get extra songs. It was just because when you love the, you know, the single so much, you're anticipating more joy in discovering the other music you haven't heard yet. And when it doesn't pay off, you're like, I recently had this. If you're new to the show, one of the things I do a lot is I go back and listen to albums from bands that I've liked, that I've had maybe a couple of their albums, or I knew them popularly, but I had not listened to their whole collection. And I've discovered some really great music doing that. Weezer is much better than I ever thought. Red Hot Chili Peppers, U2 even, is way better than even I thought, and I already liked them quite a bit. And then other bands are just disappointing. Love and Rockets, a couple of great albums, and then the rest of it is just not worth it. But that was one where like, oh, this is a great song. Oh, that's an okay song. And there's the rest of the album. 8:53 on News Radio 92.3. We talked about this a little bit earlier. It's kind of an interesting story the Navy is warning people in the Navy and contractors and reservists to scrub their social media of any reference to being in the Navy. I know you're hearing the Village People song, but don't let that take over. Target is apologizing for an offensive Halloween costume after it's orange and black, and then it has a black child in the picture wearing what looks very much like an old-style blackface kind of face. And they're like, oh, we didn't realize. Yeah, okay. Taking a screenshot is bad for your memory and bad for your ability to remember the thing you took a screenshot of. You think you're enhancing your memory or supplementing it, but actually it turns your brain off. So then you don't remember it, and then you got to remember to go look at the screenshot, which I'm still a – I do screenshots a lot because I see a news story and I want to capture it so that I don't forget, and then I'll go back and go look up the actual article based on just – and also sometimes it's like a Facebook post that, you know, I think, well, I want to go verify that, which, by the way, that is always my first impulse. If I see it on social media, okay, let's go check reliable sources, you know, because I assume that social media may not be 100% reliable. You can assume this as well. 437-1620. Oh, an Alabama senator has now planned legislation to put limits on license plate readers, flock cameras. Now, I know it's not Florida, but and some of the things that they're looking at, I don't know that would be particularly practical or effective. Like deleting data after a certain amount of time. They already have that. You know, I think they've moved it down to 7 days as the recommendation, except for open investigations or active investigations. It used to be 30. But I would be surprised if this doesn't become an issue at the state level next legislative session. Given the amount of attention being paid to license plate readers by both the socialists and libertarians, I would be very surprised if somebody doesn't try to bring forth a bill on this subject. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what the legislature does or does not do with that coming up in 2027. 2027. Anyway, PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Navy Boulevard at Interbay Avenue in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. We were talking about this a little bit earlier on the show, but yesterday I had talked about the Robot Olympics in China, where robots were running faster than Usain Bolt and jumping higher than the standing high jump people. And, you know, the robots are smarter than us with the AI, at least smarter than many. The robots are better than us at certain physical activities. And, you know, there's no reason that you have to just let them do the Olympics, right? You could put a couple of machine guns on either arm and that. Suddenly 50 of those robots that you thought were so cute running the China Olympics are, you know, they're controlling a crowd of 50,000 people pretty effectively. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. What, have you not seen the Terminator? I mean, what do you think is coming? We have companies actually building military application humanoid robots, calling themselves the Foundation Company after Asimov's Foundation series. Anyway, but that's not the story. The follow-up on is somebody texted me and said, Andrew, did you watch the videos of those robots running into the walls? And I said, no, tell me what now. So, sure enough, I went back and looked for this specifically, and the robots in the – there was a three – I almost wanted to say three-person. There's a three-bot race where they run the 100-meter dash, and there's one that kind of doesn't make it all the way, but the other two run all the way to the end. And then there's this big blue gymnastics kind of cushion, like maybe the kind of thing that the high jumpers, the pole jumpers, you know, pole vaulters would fall onto, that's set upright so they can run into it because they don't know how to stop. So they run into it, and then they kind of fall over, and they have to be carried off on stretchers, which I don't know why it's so satisfying. But then there's one video of one of the robots, a silver one, metallic colored, kind of stumbling and recovering and stumbling and recovering, which is its own weird, creepy thing to see. And then it runs right into the mat. And then it kind of stumbles like it's drunk, like it got concussed. And then it falls and breaks in half and sparks fly from its midsection. Like, you know, the robots in The Phantom Menace, the ones that are like, you know, they're all brown and they have the weird heads and they get Jar Jar Binks' head on them, all that kind of stuff, or vice versa. Anyway, like those breaking and sparking. It's like if a cartoonist drew what a robot would do when it malfunctioned, it would be this. There was one even that ran off the track and ran into some electrical boxes and then is kind of wrestling a little bit with them, trying not to fall while it's steadying itself. It's amazing. So here's my theory on this. You know me, I always have a theory. Here's my theory. I think that the AI is already in charge. Maybe. But I do think that it's too likely that this is all softening us up for liking the future where the AI and the computers are in charge, getting us to personalize these robots and laugh at them and think, oh, they're humans, they're funny, they're cute. You know, they are until, again, they're armed with, you know, fully automatic weapons on each forearm and crowd controlling the 50-person protest in downtown. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3. I don't have enough time. I'll do it anyway. Have you ever heard of aura farming, PJ?
Aura farming?
Aura farming.
Like aura?
That's it.
Head.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it, but that's okay. Tell me more.
So aura farming is when you do a TikTok or some video where you are presenting as if you have a certain skill or ability or presence. The key to it is being nonchalant about it and like not being overly showy, not being cringe. You got to aura farm effectively, not cringe. Well, now in South America, the kids are getting together for aura farm battles where they perform the dances or the videos in person and they dress up and they cosplay or LARP or whatever you want to call it. Like you used to think of old rap battles or breakdancing battles. And then crowds of people form around them and cheer them on as they most effectively role play, cosplay these videos. And you know what I think? That sounds like good, clean fun. No problem. Good for them.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on.